Let's give your parents a call right now.
Welcome to episode 6 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I'm a geeky mom. I wrote about video games for a very long time. Now I write about Game of Thrones, and I read about Game of Thrones, and I'm just a crazy Game of Thrones nerd. I write for the Geek Embassy. You find stories on Game of Thrones there from me every other week. I'm joined by fellow mom Regina McMenemy, who is head geek at the Geek Embassy. What else is going on, Regina?
Let's see. We have a series in preparation for Infinity Wars coming out, a series of articles, of really brief, summarizations of pretty much everything leading up to Infinity War.
Hey, so, I could use that as a cheat sheet.
Yes, I could actually use it too. It's going to run through, the second one's going to run this week, and then, a third one will run actually after it comes out because of timing, but there will be one each week kind of in the process of Infinity Wars coming out. Cool. So check that out if you are not a Marvel maniac and have forgotten the 5 million movies that have led into Infinity Wars and the different things that are going to intersect based on it. Check that out. We're also going to be doing a Geek Embassy Watches Infinity Wars, which will be coming out the first week of May, because we do those within like the first 2 weeks, so we're not too spoilery. My first episode of Game On Girl is up, so go listen.
Yay!
Nanania was awesome, so yes, go check that out.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right, so we're also joined by Steven Dutzman, who is editor and founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com. And Steven got invited to the Microsoft E3 briefing this year.
They'll just let any old asshole in. So
you have arrived, my friend. Getting one of those invites is a big deal. So congratulations.
I mean, so I have heard the opposite, but I will take that as a compliment.
Changed. Maybe it's changed. I mean, I don't know. It was a big deal when I was at IGN.
Either way, I'm going to consider it a victory, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
Getting there is going to be super tight. However, we're going to make it happen.
Of course you are.
So, well, yeah. I mean, it's. I will say this much. I wish that I had known about it when we were planning travel in the first place. However, it'll be fine. It'll be great. I will be likely very tired while I am in that auditorium. Hopefully they pump some oxygen in there. I know they'll have loud music and green. So my hope is that, you know, that they have they do it like Vegas and just pump in the oxygen and, you know, just keep it happy. Although they probably can't do that if they're going to start a car in it. You know, they're going to start a car.
Well, that was last year.
They always have a car.
No, they don't.
They don't always have a car?
I went to the most perfect year. I've only been to them once. I went the perfect year. It was when they gave everybody a 360 at the
Oh, wow.
I know. That was right when they were launching the 360, what was it called? Yeah. Elite or something. I forget.
I hope I get a hat. That's really what I'm hoping for. A nice big green obnoxious like visor, something like that. I mean, I'm just not setting my swag hopes high, but I'm sure I get a hat or a t-shirt or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's my advice to you. Don't plan on like working quote unquote while you're there. Let somebody else like watch it and take notes and stuff for you. Just enjoy it. Yeah. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm just going to my plan is to just take pictures and, you know, type a little bit into my phone if I'm like videos. Super hype. Yeah, I don't know if I can do those. I think I can do pictures. I don't know. They gave me a list of stuff that I can and can't do.
Oh, really?
And they're going to give me more clarification. I don't have a photographer because they asked me if I needed a place for my camera. And I was like, no.
Yeah, that's the only place that you have to be set up in like a specific area for the camera. You have to be approved to be in that area. So you probably wouldn't get approved for that. That's just my guess, but
probably not. And I don't have the gear for that anyway. So, but you know, the plan is to chill. It's to do exactly that, chill and hang out and watch it. I am not going to go out of my mind. I'm not like bringing my laptop with me or anything. I'm going to go use. I mean, I have a phone, so I can take notes. I'll probably like audio record so that I have my own, you know, it's also not like I really need to spend a lot of effort recording it because, you know, right. YouTube is a thing. So, but yeah, it's pretty, it is super rad. It is certainly an honor, even if they'll let anybody in there. They certainly don't let anybody.
Right.
So it is that I somehow got onto the right mailing list.
Don't let Microsoft employees in there unless they're speaking or part of the PR department.
Well, probably because there's a lot of Microsoft employees, and if they let some in, they'd have to let everybody. At which point, why not?
Even the gaming ones, like even if you're high up on the chain at 343, you can't get in. Because I remember it wasn't last year, but the year before, Isaac and his team were talking about that, and then I got the email inviting me to the media briefing. He had made a comment like the night before about them not being able to go, and so I forwarded the email.
Let me rub this in.
And he sent it to his team members. Like, look at this. This is my wife getting invited to the E3 conference. Anyhow. Oh, fun times. So we just got a Vive shipped to us today.
Oh, look at you.
I know. This is my husband's doing. But here's the thing.
Did looking at it make you puke? That's my, like.
No, here's the thing. We can't use it yet. Because we bought a bundle, which includes the headset and like everything else you need to work with the headset in order to play. And you would think that a bundle would be, I don't know, bundled together, like maybe even in the same box. So we have the headset and everything else that you need to play. It has been back ordered and we won't be getting it until May.
Oh.
I know.
That's weird.
Seriously.
I know. That's what I'm like we bought a bundle. Like,
right.
You know?
How can you not bundle it together for a bundle?
Yeah.
It's a bundle. I know.
It's weird. So, no, I won't be able to see how sick I will be until
for a May. Little while.
Yeah. You know, there's an Oasis, not as a game, there's an Oasis something for the Vive because Isaac was downloading every single free thing that he can. And so, there's some type of Oasis simulation thing, which I'll have to check out because it should be cool.
Regina, are we going to take bets on how many seconds she makes it before she ukes all over the setup?
It depends on the game.
I think she'll make it.
Because if it's something like the Star Child that I did at E3 last year, where there's not a lot of like quick back and forth or up and down motion, and you're just kind of like in a set in area, and you just kind of, I think you'll be okay. Cause I have the same sensitivity. So I was okay. I had a little bit of a headache after that, but not like the nausea like I experienced when I go to a movie. What was it? Avatar. That, like jumping through the trees and everything. I took my glasses off halfway through. Cause I'm like, I really do not want to hurl on this floor, and I'm about to. So. I think it depends on the game. If you do get something that is like I don't know, like Spider-Man, like you would hurl in Spider-Man, like no doubt, right? Yeah. Like jumping from the building.
Yeah, I mean, some third-person games, believe it or not, have been making me a little sick if I play them for too long.
Yeah.
Like if I played Rise of the Tomb Raider for too long, I would start to feel sick. So, but I head off that. That possibility by putting C bands on before I even started God of War. I'm like, I am not gonna have to stop because I'm sick.
Right.
I will stop to eat and to go pick up my daughter, but I am not gonna stop because I am sick. Yep. Not letting that happen. So anyhow. So Steven, you're back LARPing this weekend, right?
First
weekend you were back.
So my first weekend game in, I don't know, like 2 years.
Wow.
I hadn't been to a weekend event in a very long time, and it was pretty good.
Cool.
Had a lot of fun. It was very, very cold, and that's why I'm sick.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
And yet you did get a sunburn.
Yeah, you can tell, can't you? Oh, well, I posted about it on Facebook, too.
You did that,
So I have a thing where I used to get really, really bad ones every month.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually my wife was like, hey, maybe you should get a hat so that you don't, you know,
get sunburn,
sunburn and eventually die because of your, and I thought that was fair. So she bought me a hat, but it really was out of genre. Like it was a really not great looking hat. It was like a fishing hat.
With the costume.
It absolutely does. And so now I'm looking for a better hat. And so I reached out to my nerds, and not many of them were very helpful. So I'm gonna have to, we're going to find something. We'll find something. Okay. But I did get a little bit, because the thing is, you always forget that the snow exists in April.
Right.
Right.
Right. Because I don't know what it's like for y'all in April. But over here, it's like, it can't decide what it is, but it's never warm enough to make you like think about, it's never warm enough to make you think about the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Oh, right. So it's just cold and you don't realize exactly how badly you're burning up because the air around you is cold.
I fell asleep in a field with nothing covering my face. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, I can sleep anywhere.
Yeah, I think you told us this before, but I don't know. Do I want to know why you fell asleep in a field?
Well, I was just like relaxing. I mean, it was sunny, but it wasn't, you know, it was just, and there was nothing going on.
Oh, okay.
There was like serious downtime. And so I was
just wondering, maybe this was part of the story.
Like a character. Yeah.
No. We were just hanging out. Like, you know, a bunch of people just kind of hanging out.
Like the poppies in The Wizard of Oz, right?
Although, fun story. At one point, I did get beat up and I was lying down, and you're supposed to count to 5 minutes to see if you like die for real. And I totally fell asleep at one point. And I was like, I think I died. I don't know. I don't really know. So it was really confusing. So, I mean, I can fall asleep anywhere, especially when I am tired or not feeling well. Mm-hmm. So I was out like a light.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm better now-ish. I still am sick, but I'm better and I'm energized and ready to talk about video games.
God of War. Oh my God. So good.
Don't spoil it for me.
Yeah. Steven, you have to get it and play it. I'm not going to spoil anything. I played pretty much all day on Friday, and then I played a few hours yesterday. So I'm on like, I don't know, eight-ish hours in maybe. But it is really good. It's completely satisfying. You have those crazy violent finishers like God of War is known for. The only thing that I haven't come up against thus far is a giant boss. So I'm hoping that I'll come into contact with one of those soon, because that was another staple of the series and one of the things that was so awesome. So but other than that, it's very cool. It is beautiful. I very much like looking at it on my 4K TV. It is just beautiful. Lots more character development going on, which is very cool.
That's impressive.
Yeah, the thing that actually is different, which I wasn't even thinking about until Isaac pointed it out to me, is the difference in the camera. And it's a follow camera now, where you could, you know, you can look around and do all that kind of stuff. In previous God of Wars, it was a fixed camera based on the environment. So it's actually a pretty big camera change. And I didn't notice it. And I think that's probably because I haven't played a God of War game in 10 years. I don't know when the third one came out. I was still at IGN when the third God of War came out. So it's been a while.
It has, in fact.
So the camera doesn't bother me. Like I said, I didn't even notice it until Isaac pointed it out. The axe is really cool. There's a little getting used to using this because you can throw it, but you have to call it back. So there's sort of an extra button press in there. And so it took a little bit of getting used to, like I'm trying to attack thinking I have my axe and then realizing that I'm attacking with my fist instead. I'm like, oh crap, right. I need my axe. Get back here. So I'm used to that now though. I've gotten used to it. So that's God of War. It's awesome. It's amazing. You look at the reviews, all around. It's getting tens, multiple places.
Yeah.
So if you got a PS4, go get this thing. It's amazing.
The man behind the curtain did buy it and is intending to share it with me when he has finished it. So I will report back. I'm not missing this game. Right. It's just I bought both Labo kits, so I couldn't afford God of War at the same time.
I understand. Because I was going to say that I would have a conversation with the general on your behalf if you weren't allowed to get God of War.
Oh, no. We're not that. I have to make choices, but right. If there's ever one that I absolutely need to play, then it is not kind of thing.
I'm just kidding.
I appreciate that you would speak to the general on my behalf. That does make me feel better. But no, she's even interested in it, at least on a slight level, because
yeah,
I keep saying like, all right, so he's not just like this big lunky dude apparently anymore, and my cousin Peter gave it good marks, and she trusts him. She, mm-hmm. I'm all in.
Yeah.
I was sold on this from the preview events. Then I see all the reviews and I'm like, all right, now this is like, game changing stuff. So I'm in 100%.
This is definitely, kind of the PS4 game. Like it's defining the console at this point.
How unfortunate is it that God of War came out this year, the same year as Red Dead Redemption 2? Do you think that matters anymore?
I don't really think so, because first of all, they're months and months apart. Second of all, they're so different. Like, I don't know. They're so different.
Well, I think it means the same way that Horizon really was... It was unfortunate that it came out the same year as A New Legend of Zelda, is what I mean, right?
Oh. I think it's God of War it's easier for God of War to hold its own against a big game like Red Dead Redemption. I mean, it'll be interesting to see sales-wise what happens. I mean, Red Dead will have the advantage of being available on multiple consoles. I don't know anybody that's not getting God of War, honestly. I don't.
Me either.
Anybody
who owns a PS4. Any grown-up that I know that has a PS4 is at least excited about it and planning on getting it. The only folks that I know are waiting were people that wanted Yakuza. And they came out around the same time and they wanted Yakuza and have been waiting for that longer. I mean, I get that. But all of them are like, yeah, as soon as I'm done with Yakuza, though, got a word that day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, like the night before it launched, Isaac was, he's like, you should go down, turn the PS4, make sure that the install is still happening, because we pre-ordered it, so it had a preload, pre-install thing, and I'm like, yeah, I better go make sure that your controllers are charged and all this other kind of stuff, so I went down and logged in, and there was like a thing telling me that I could play the game in just over an hour. And this was on Thursday night. And I'm like, what?
What? Well, it must have been midnight Eastern, right? So it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no. It was just West Coast. Just the West Coast got the game the day before. Well, not the day before. The night before. Wow. At least that's what I found online. Because I went upstairs. I came upstairs because, our stuff is in our basement. I'm like, wait, what is going on here? And so I did some searching. It was like, yeah, for the West Coast, 9 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, you could play it. But I'm like, oh man, I can play it. But then I'm like, oh man, do I want to do this?
Yeah, but 9 p.m.
Yeah.
But 9 p.m. for you guys is midnight Eastern, is what I mean. So they must have unlocked it for you when it hit midnight for us.
Yeah, I guess.
So that you could play it. So you could play it and not have to wait.
Yeah. But also, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I could play it. Yay. Or, yeah, I could play it, and then it becomes a big thing. Like, okay, if I started at 9, I go to bed shortly after 10. Do I want to just play it for an hour? No.
Would you just play it for an hour? That is really the question. No, the answer to that, I think, is probably.
So, I knew, on Friday, I didn't have anything to do. We didn't record a podcast, so I didn't have anything to edit. Didn't have anything to do anything. So I could just sit and play the entire day. And that is what I did. So, and it was worth it. Because now I'm at the point where I can play for just an hour, because that's the way things are going to be for a while.
Right.
So buy this without any doubt, unless you like are crazy, aren't good with violence, and gore. Some of it's pretty gory. But most of it is, monsters gory as opposed to people gory. But anyhow, that's something to keep in mind as well. It's a hard M, I guess is what you would say.
Yeah.
So let's see what else is going on here. The Nintendo Labo, as Steven mentioned, came out. I don't know anything about this. I know we talked about it a little bit before, but Steven apparently has them. So tell us about the Labo, Steven.
It's really probably the coolest thing.
Oh, really? That's cool.
No, yeah, it's pretty freaking cool. When you're done with your Vive experiment, these things are coming to your house.
Okay.
You just don't know it yet. They're coming, because your daughter will want to build all of these things with Isaac or you, because they are really cool projects. For those of you who are interested in exactly how this whole thing works, you can go to the Engaged Family Gaming Facebook page because we have videos all over the place. While I was LARPing, my wife and Linda, our board game editor, got together with all five children and put them to work building Labos. Specifically, they built the entire variety kit. And they did a bunch of videos and they took a bunch of pictures that were spamming all over our Instagram account tonight. Specifically tonight, because I haven't had a spare moment to do it. And so they're really cool. The instructions are easy to follow. The kits themselves are surprisingly sturdy considering things. The software that they come with is kind of neat. My kids spent like 2 hours playing with the piano. So much, I mean, and that's pretty rad. And I mean, I don't know if you're on Twitter, which, you know, most people are, like, go follow, just like look for Labo Piano, and you'll see people already using the Nintendo Labo Piano very similarly to the Mario Paint Music Creator. Like, we're seeing some crazy orchestrations and arrangements. It's neat. We haven't built the giant robot yet. That is this coming weekend. Although this coming weekend is also International Tabletop Day. So we're kind of thrown off by some of that stuff. You laugh, but Regina knows it's true. We're all us different kinds of nerds are over here being like, I wonder what piece of cardboard we're going to mess around with. But the Labos, I'm really excited. I'm really excited. They are very cool. And cool. Even though I didn't get to build one yet, I'm excited about the robot. But we had a 6-year-old build the remote control car by himself.
Wow, that's cool.
Of them were built primarily by children, with very little assistance from adults, which I think says something to how they work. And guys, I mean, how many of us are excited about the fact that when we're done with our Nintendo peripherals, we can just throw them out? I mean that, like, when we're done with them, we can throw them out. Like, we have so much extra stuff. Nintendo has confirmed, by the way, that they're selling replacement kits on their website, and they're not very expensive. So that's a good thing, and I need that because I think we're going to need a new piano. But
if they're already playing hours upon hours with it.
It is cardboard. So the Labos are very neat. If you are a family who owns a Switch, first off, if you're a family and you don't own a Switch, fix that. So fix that first, then buy the Labos, because I really think it's a very cool afternoon. Like, the kits themselves are not fast builds. The car is quick, but everything else is an afternoon project, and then you have like a game that you can play with it. And they're fascinating. There's interesting stuff you can do with them. And so for the variety kit comes with like 6 different builds for $70. It comes with the motorbike, a house, a piano, the RC car, and the fishing pole. And the fishing pole legit works.
Cool.
I mean, in as much as, you know, it has like tension on the line and you crank it up and down. Funny, embarrassing story. We were absolutely convinced that the fishing rod was reeling backwards. But it turns out we were just holding it wrong.
Yeah.
We're like super freaking out trying to figure out how to fix it. And then I was like, wait a minute, what if we just turn it around? And then everything made sense.
Oh, man.
You laugh, yeah, you laugh like that's not on brand for me.
No, it is perfectly.
That's interesting that there's a fishing pole. Anna keeps asking to go fishing. And I have to tell her, like, yeah, maybe that'll happen one day.
There you go. You can get her the Nintendo Labos and she can go fishing in your house.
In your living room.
Yeah. I think it was Final Fantasy 15 that got her on the fishing
boat. That doesn't surprise me.
Sorry, it's not Animal Crossing.
No, it was Final Fantasy 15.
Did she ask for cup noodles?
No, but it was funny. We were in the grocery store the other day. What is it? I think it's Dissidia. Final Fantasy actually has characters on the cup noodles.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Because she saw them and she's like, look, Final Fantasy. And I picked it up and I was like, you know, I don't know anything about these characters. I saw a blonde character. I'm like, hey, look, it's Prompto. No, it was not Prompto. You
were wrong. There's a lot of blonde guys.
Yeah, I know. It was Cloud, though. I'm pretty sure it was Cloud. I know his massive
Cloud sword. Is on there. Yeah.
Yes.
How weird is this? You just mommed all over that thing. Like, you legit mommed.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. That's like something like my mom would have used to say, like back in the back of the day. She'd be like, oh goodness, that Iron Man, isn't he so adorable? And I'd be like, wow, Iron Man is not adorable. He is badass. So that's basically what you just did.
Oh yeah. At least I did eventually. When I looked at it closely, I knew that it was Cloud.
That's fine. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just implying you're a fake gamer mom.
Yes,
you're a fake gamer mom. That's all.
You're a fake gamer mom.
Okay, then there's that Lavo. Yeah, whatever. So since last time we talked, the new Hearthstone expansion has dropped. Yep. And actually the PvE dungeon, by the time you listen to this, the PvE dungeon stuff will have dropped as well. Yep. I'm assuming we've all played it since the expansion. What do you guys think?
It's pretty cool. Folks who want to watch my daughter open many, many packs should come watch the videos on my Facebook page.
How many packs did she get into, by the way?
She opened about 40-ish of them by herself.
Uh-huh.
I think she would have done more, but like Jake wanted to do a bunch and I couldn't help myself because she was moving too slow. I was like, honey, why don't you let's alternate. But no, she did like 45 herself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Her luck was not great.
Yeah. You know what? Mine really wasn't either.
But it's fine. 70 packs. Were you opening them on your laptop or were you opening them on your phone?
I was opening them on my iPad. Well, no, I did some of them on my laptop because we had to do something. I didn't have time to get through all of them. And then I did some of them on my iPad. So
I think it's probably faster to open them on your iPad.
Probably. I'm not sure.
The mouse was the worst. Although we did realize that we figured out halfway through why Megan was so slow is that she's left-handed and I was making her use her right hand with the mouse, which was kind of a jerk move. But it just didn't even occur to me. And I'm like, why are you struggling so much? And then my wife came in, she's like, well, because you're making you use your wrong hand, duh. So
so it's cool. There was lots of nonsense going on the first couple days with the whole shaman. Was it
the Shudderwalk?
Shudderwalk deck.
They just announced literally a few minutes ago that in a future update they are going to be speeding up the life drain animation,
right?
And capping the amount of battle cries that Shudderwalk can copy to 20, and speeding up his animations.
Okay, cool. Because like the first day I was playing, I mean, at least 90% of the people I came up against were playing shamans with that stupid deck. And I actually stopped playing for a couple of days. I'm like, this isn't fun. Thanks to Steven and his education to me over card games, I knew that it was going to go away. It just needed a few days to settle down. So I'm like, I'll just stop and I'll come back. And lo and behold, I came back and it was mostly gone. What? Mostly.
Yeah. What? How crazy is that? It's like I'm right sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, here's what happened. People went crazy. They played it. They had their fun. And then they realized they still lost to Cube Block and stopped. That's what they did. Like, oh, we still lose to Warlock. Never mind. Although Shudderwalk is super still viable. You just don't build the deck around him. But he's a great value play. Uh-huh. I mean, he's still really good. It's just don't build the deck to be all about him. People were just holding it for like ever. Yeah. It's like, no, just play him almost as soon as you get him and get like a whole bunch of value out of him. And that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I always use the recipes at least to start off with before I look for
Before you kind of like figure everything out.
So there is one of the recipes for Warrior. It's called, I think it's called Russian. I've actually had a decent amount of luck with that deck. It seems to be pretty good. I went all the way from like nothing on 20 all the way up to rank 18 the other day on a win streak using that deck.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So that's the one that I've been using. Mostly recently. So, but anyhow, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it was funny yesterday. I had to go help. What did I have to help Anna with? I don't remember. I just started a game and I had to go help Anna wash her hair or something. Like she was in the bath and Isaac's like, you need to go help her wash her hair. And I had just started a game. So I gave him the iPad and I'm like, well, here, you play it. He hasn't played Hearthstone since the Whispers of the Old Gods expansion. He was so confused. He's like, I'm going to lose. I'm like, and then I came back down and he's like, did they rename Charge Rush? And I'm like, no, those are different things. So, but I didn't want to just concede, like, you know, he has played the game before, so there wasn't a reasonable option that he may have actually been able to win. But yeah, no, it didn't happen. So,
what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Yeah, so, you guys have been playing it, right, Regina? Yeah. Have you?
I haven't been, I've thought about it. Kind of chaos here, so the last 2 weeks of the semester are I'm barely head above water, so
yes. Well, at least you know you come and play, all the nonsense is done.
Yeah, so exactly. So I'm kind of glad I heard you say that, and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm kind of glad I missed that part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's Hearthstone. Let us know what you think of the expansion. Send an email to geekingmoms@gmail.com. Other gaming news. There's going to be a demo for Detroit happening on the PS4. It will have dropped by the time you hear this. It's going to be the first mission, the entire first mission, which is the one that they've been showing a lot at various events. But it'll be interesting to kind of play it. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. What else? There's a pretty big story here. Valve has acquired Campo Santo, which is the developer of Firewatch. And it's interesting because Valve has not put out a game for a while. It's been quite a long while since they've actually released a game. So the fact that they acquired them kind of means like, hey, they might be doing games again, which is what Gabe Newell's been saying, but he's been saying it for a while. So, but that's cool. I mean, Valve games are always great. You know, there was, so I don't know. We'll see. I never played Firewatch. Did you, Steven, did you play Firewatch?
I did not and didn't really have an interest in it. I don't have time for walking simulators, and I'm sure it's great. It was just like, I'm good. But I think this is a big deal. Because you know what Campo Santo could probably do? Bet you they could do another Portal game. Mm-hmm. You know what else I think they could do? Whatever the heck they want. But, I mean, they could definitely make another Portal game. I mean, what is, you know, I mean, the idea of having them finish their Egypt treasure hunter game or whatever. Yeah. And then be, you know, have infinity funding to make a new portal. Mm-hmm. I mean, why not? Right. I mean, yeah. That's so maybe, or you know what else they have, you know, Valve does have other, story-based first person games mm-hmm. that they could put them on. I don't think that it's out of the realm of the question that Campo Santo might be put on Half-Life Duty, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the reality is, if Valve announces Half-Life 3, the world explodes. Right? Like the amount of hype for that game, even if it's not great, right? Like, mm-hmm. that, and so I think it's a big deal. Yeah. And I think it's a really great deal for Campo Santo.
Oh, they get,
they're getting out of San Francisco, which is a scary place to live ever since I thought about living there and looked into it for a few minutes and realized, holy crap.
Yeah, I'm like, no.
Oh, my hometown.
I mean,
it would still terrify me to go back.
I mean, that was Steven. They had a Nintendo editor opening at IGN, and I saw him post on Facebook, and I messaged him, and I'm like, no. I hate to tell you, but no, that's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, if my wife were independently wealthy, it would be awesome. Or if they would let me telecommute, it would be great. But they, I will say, it makes me feel better to know that I think I might have had a shot, because their new guy, I think he's, you know, he and I are pretty close. I think I could be.
Okay.
I'm not saying he sucks. I'm just saying it's not like they went and hired Reggie Fils-Aimé. You know what I mean? Like, they hired just like some dude that knows about Nintendo. I just like to think that maybe I might have had a shot. You know, that's all.
Okay.
But I definitely, you know what I didn't have a shot to do? Afford to live in San Francisco, which is the real deal. It's great for them, right? Like, they get to go make like Valve money and live in freaking Washington, and still make their games. And how about this? Even if their next game is a complete bomb, like literally a bomb, they're fine.
Yeah.
Whereas if they were on their own, that's a lot of pressure. And I think that pressure could affect them creatively, right? Like, they're coming off a game that was well received critically, etc. Like, the pressure that they need to put something out that is productive, that can't feel good on the creative process, right? Like, so I think that this kind of lets off that pressure valve, and I think that that's a big deal for them. You know, I've said big deal like 6 times, but I think it's going to be great for them creatively.
Yeah.
Let them stretch their wings. Let them take their time with this game.
Right. Yeah.
And then know that once it's out, it'll get Valve's marketing. I mean, Valve has dollars.
Yeah.
You know, like, they've got the marketing budget, they have the logistics. I think this is a great thing for them. And I think it's a great thing for video games. More companies making good games is good for everyone.
Yes. Yes.
I just want to know who Valve's gonna buy next.
Right, right.
Buy Campo Santo or nobody else.
At PAX last year, Campo Santo, I mean, they were up on sort of the indie-ish floor, but they had a very elaborate booth. And I was confused as to how they had enough money to have an elaborate booth, and they weren't even showing off a new game at that point. It was just more Firewatch. But I'm thinking maybe that deal had been in the works, and they're like, hey, we can throw all this money away on an elaborate booth because Val's going to buy us. It's going to be fine. So, so other gaming stuff. There's going to be an expansion for Destiny coming soon. When is it supposed to come out, Steven?
May 8th. They had a live stream today.
Okay.
Where they announced some of the details. It is called The Warmind. And it's about a guy named Rasputin the Warmind. And he's on Mars. So, I have kind of fallen off the wagon. There's too many video games to play, as you guys know. I've fallen off the wagon, but from what I understand, the Destiny community is not pleased.
Oh.
Because this was not what they were promised. You know, and because they, it's so, there are a lot of folks, if you really want to hear a rant, and you're not a Destiny fan, but maybe you're, you just want to listen, you just want to kind of get an idea, listen to today. So today is the 23rd. Today's the 23rd?
Yes,
24th.
The 24th. So listen to the Kind of Funny Games Daily for April 24th. And Andrea Renee, who is one of the co-hosts today, goes off for about 20 minutes on Destiny. So if you want to know what, if you're curious, what a Destiny fan feels about this, morbidly curious at least, give that podcast a download. And you'll hear it. She cusses a lot. Spoilers. Don't let your kids nearby, because she cusses many, many, many times. She's not very pleased. And I get it, because the idea is they were promised new areas, new weapon types, new enemies, and it does not appear to be so. Now, that some of it could be an exaggeration, because I get it. I played World of Warcraft during the expansion times, and sometimes expansions just didn't, you know, some people just hated them. There's no pleasing people. However, I mean, Regina knows that there's no pleasing MMO fans. Nope. So it could be that, but those that I follow who play that game are usually pretty level headed about this stuff and even keeled, and all of them are not pleased. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing. I mean, how this should have been a surefire thing. This Destiny 2 thing, right? Like, Destiny 1 was a big success. All they had to do was take Destiny 1 and just make it bigger. And it's not like they didn't have a blueprint of how to make a successful MMO follow-up. Like, so many games, and I'm not just talking about World of Warcraft. I mean, so many games have put out expansions and done a good job. Final Fantasy 14 has done great jobs of follow-up content. I can't not mention World of Warcraft, but, like, EverQuest had the base EverQuest is still getting expansions.
Right.
It's still getting expansions. This is not hard. You know how to make MMO players happy, and they're not doing it. And it doesn't make sense, because if this were like some fly by night, like indie company that had an accidental hit on their hands, I might give them a pass. This is an Activision funded development house. This is freaking Bungie. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, Bungie, you'd know better. They, at the very least, they should pick up the phone and call somebody. Like, they got friends, I'm sure, right? Like, call somebody and be like, yo, dude, or yo, girl, how do you make a successful MMO expansion? And their friend or their girl would be like, yeah, this is how you do it. You just do more of the same and you make everything better. For whatever reason, they decided to do more of the same and not make anything better. They just decided to literally do more of the same, and you can't do that. And they know what people want. They just got to do, I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird. Like, add a new class. Just, if they just add a new class, people will stop complaining. Just add a new class. I know it's hard, whatever. Add a new class.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If Blizzard can put paladins on the Horde side, you can put a new class in.
Okay, so I just saw you put this in, Steven. Final Fantasy 15 Minecraft skins.
Yep, every word that I just typed into that chat is accurate and in plain English. I got the press release this afternoon, and I was like, "What?" And then I was like, "I gotta tell Nicole, because now you're gonna have to buy Final Fantasy 15 Minecraft skins for wherever you do. You own Minecraft on any of your devices?"
We have it on Xbox One. I don't think we have. I don't know. I don't play it. So.
That's the Final Fantasy 15 skins will be available on any Minecraft service or any Minecraft game that has the Bedrock update, which I am certain your Xbox One version does, unless you've chosen not to update it. And so, yeah, you can get a Prompto skin for your Minecraft. Roll around. Basically, you're stuck. You have to buy it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been able to keep her. She's been playing Mario Odyssey. That's okay. Her game right now. So the only Eventually. Final Fantasy 15 thing that was going on recently was her birthday. Her birthday cake. But so we've got Mario is keeping her pretty satisfied at the moment. And she's doing well. Like, she's doing lots of stuff on her own that I would be bad at. So yeah, it's pretty impressive. Let's see. So there's that. What else? There's a new Sega Master System Mini, Steven. Yep. What is that?
It's literally what it just said. Yeah. It's that. I mean, so Sega had an event in Japan where they made two announcements. One of them is they're going to release a Sega Master System, which looks like a little Sega Master System, and it's it works. I'm sure just like the SNES Classic,
right?
Only we can only hope that it's not a pile of garbage like the other ones that they put out in the past. I'm somewhat cynical about that one, and truth be told, I really don't want one. So I know it's hard to believe I don't want something, but like, I just have no attachments to the entire Sega Master System now. So, I mean, I'm happy that it exists, I guess, because somebody's going to be happy. Right. I guess like there's gotta be like two people that want one. And hopefully they can find them.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
The thing that I do kind of like is Sega has announced this thing called Sega Ages, which are basically classic Sega games being released for new consoles, and they're putting them out on Switch. Sega Ages, because Ages is Sega backwards.
Oh,
mind blown.
Oh, man.
It's a palindrome. Where's Marty Sleva when I need him? So
wow, that's just terrible.
So yeah. The first three games, there are going to be 15 of them announced. The first one is Sonic the Hedgehog, obviously. The second one is the original Phantasy Star.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is some like helicopter game. I'm kind of excited about the Phantasy Star. I've actually wanted to play the Phantasy Star games. I understand they're pretty good. So I'm in. And that sounds fun. You know, like a neat old school, like, you know, late 8, early 16-bit JRPG in space. Sure. What up?
Movies and TV.
Avengers Infinity War comes out this weekend.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't have any plans to see it.
Who's going to die?
Vision.
Vision?
Oh, Vision is 100% going to die. Homie has an Infinity Stone in his dome piece. Now, that does not mean he's not going to get brought back to life, because I'm certain that he will, because this is a comic book movie and Paul Bettany works cheap.
Right.
I
think it's Robert Downey Jr. I think Iron Man's going to die.
I think that is a safe bet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be one. It's either him or Cap.
Right.
Or both. Right.
Or it could be both.
I'd go for both. I know. So I know Vision is going to die, but I'm confident that he'll come back maybe as the White Vision, because, you know, Vision was white in the comics for a while. Maybe you don't know that, but now you know.
Okay.
At one point, he died and was brought back, and he was white. Okay. So they could totally
like
do
Gandalf.
That.
Like Gandalf.
It'd be different. Like, Gandalf just put his stuff in with some extra strong Tide with bleach. Like, that's really what happened with him. But no, Vision like lost all color. And I think that would actually look kind of cool. Like his costume in all white. Because they could really use the CGI to like really play up how white it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down with that a lot. But I mean, it's definitely going to be Cap. Or Iron Man, maybe both. But Chris Evans has said he doesn't want to play Captain America anymore.
Yeah, I know. But I wonder if that's like, I don't always trust things like that when they're like, I'm done with this. When it's like everybody's anticipating that there's going to be a death in this movie of one of them. And I mean, so it's like, let's put this.
I read a thing, I think it was The Verge maybe, that they don't think anybody's going to die. And I think that that is actually a possibility. I think it's on the table that no one dies.
Could be.
Because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, Thanos is a beast, but, like, there's, like, a million of those dudes. And they don't need So like he doesn't need to kill someone to put him over. You know what I mean? Like he's already like, we got it. He's beast. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it takes like literally the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe to potentially hold him off is plenty of a sell of power without necessarily killing anyone. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I don't think the killing anyone is to prove Thanos' power as much as it is to unite the factions, because at the end of Civil War, we have them fighting with each other, and there's nothing like the death of somebody to bring people back together. And so that's why I think it has to be like Iron Man or Cap, because they're the leaders of their respective factions. And I think if one of them were to die, I think that would be the fastest narrative way to emotionally pull the groups back together.
I don't necessarily disagree. I don't know.
It's just, you know, it's a speculation at this point, but
just everybody listening, when you watch Avengers Infinity War and Vision dies, just recognize that at that moment, I'm Steven crying.
Was actually right. I'll be crying because Steven was right. Just kidding.
Oh, come on. Tell me that you don't think that deny it. It is very clear that he's going to die. Or at least get jacked up real hard.
Something is, yeah, because they're coming for the stone. But yes, I have to give you a bad time because you give Nicole a bad time. I give you a bad time. And you're all nice to me because I'm awesome. So there's that.
Yeah. I don't understand why you, considering, by the way, I just registered you for E3 for the second time in a row. Number one. Number two, I put doctor on your ID badge again.
Again, yes. Everybody is calling me doctor.
And yet you have to give me a hard time? You have to?
Yep.
All right.
It's mandatory. It was in the contract I signed with Nicole when I came on the show. Like, you pick on Steven.
Next time I'm gonna not put doctor.
Put plebeian.
Yeah, I'll put something. Put something extra sarcastic.
Grip, key grip.
Yes. So Infinity War comes out the Friday. Is it this Friday?
Yeah. I mean, technically it comes out Thursday.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But
We don't have plans to see it at this point. We finally got off our butts and saw Black Panther last week. So, yeah, we're a little behind on that. So
Just a little. Well, I mean, there's so many. I mean, if you look, we keep a list for the Geek Embassy, and I showed it to Chris, and he's like, there is no conceivable way for us to see all these movies.
Yeah, I know. And we would not have gone to see Black Panther unless everybody was, you know, everybody had such a great reaction to it. Like, that's the only reason we went.
Yeah.
So yeah. And it was good.
It's good. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we don't have any plans to see this at this point. Because honestly, both Isaac and I are like, this just seems like it's going to be a big mess with everybody in it, you know, like, no one's gonna get a decent amount of screen time.
Yeah, I think that's part of the thing for Chris too, and he's just over the superhero movies. That is just he's just superhero fatigue at this point. He's like,
I don't care. I'm gonna go watch it on Thursday night.
Yeah,
of course you are.
You and Dante's beside himself, excited.
I'm sorry that this doesn't make you happy, but ain't nobody.
It's not that
nobody
it doesn't make me happy. It's just I'm just.
But nothing makes you happy. I get it.
God of War has made me very happy. Yeah, by the way, if you couldn't tell.
So you like brooding angry dudes with axes? I get it. That's fine. Thor has an axe in this movie, and he's from Norse mythology, and he has an axe. Come on. See? I don't know. This movie's, I mean, I'm happy that you guys are, you know, everybody's got to have plans. And if you don't want to go, I'm not going to make you.
Spoiler alert.
Westworld.
Oh, yes.
Did you watch it?
Yes. We watched it. Isaac was like, I feel like it's a little more mysterious right now than just for the sake of being mysterious. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I could see that. But still, it's yeah. very cool.
I just read, I sent it to Isabella. There was because she and I are watching it too. I sent an article from IO9. The title is Westworld Returns, and nothing is as it seems except for all the corpses. Nice. And it just made me crack up because there are a lot of dead in this season.
I know. I'm glad that it did the recap because it's been a while since we watched it.
I rewatched the whole first season in anticipation of it starting just because I knew I couldn't remember enough of, because I didn't watch the first season as it aired. I binge watched it and I have a problem.
Yeah, we did that too. Yeah.
When I binge watch, I don't always remember all the details of everything.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see if there were things that I had missed in, like, in the storytelling.
Right.
Of it. And I didn't miss too much. I don't think there weren't too many places where I was like, oh, they did give a clue about that. Except there were a couple of clues about Bernard that were really, really subtle. Because the actor knew he was a host.
Right.
But nobody else did.
Still no one else. Yeah.
Yeah. So there were some very subtle things that he had kind of put in that I thought kind of gave that away watching it, knowing that he was a host.
Yeah.
But I feel, I kind of feel like Isaac, but I also think that when we look at, after having finished the season, the first season, then going into the second season, I think they're, because we're not starting out, I was like, well, the first season didn't start out quite so oblique, but we already have a story in place that we're starting from this time. Yeah. So I think it makes sense that it's more oblique, but it also kind of irritated me as well that it was.
Yeah. Like, I felt a little lost, lost.
Means. There is one line from the IO9 article that cracked me up. Because I'm having trouble with Dolores's storyline. I don't want to spoil too much since it literally just came out yesterday or 2 days ago. But it said Dolores was taking a page out of Rick Grimes' Walking Dead playbook: how to murder people and show no mercy and still be the protagonist. And I think that was part of what was kind of annoying me was the evolution of her. I was on board all of last season for her story, but I really don't feel very attached to her at this point. And
it seems like there was a big jump that was made to me. Like, she just went from, like, kind of being cognizant of what was going on and sort of being pissed off about it to like crazy murder, let's kill everybody kind of stuff. That was, I felt like that was a bit of a jump.
I don't have much empathy for how she's being portrayed at this point. And I think that that's going to be really hard because once I lost empathy for Rick, I stopped watching Walking Dead.
Mm.
So I think that tends to be potentially problematic. But I'm very interested to see what happens with Maeve because she's really my favorite at this point.
Yeah, yeah, she's awesome. I also, I mean, as much as, you know, I was a little put off by Dolores, I find it very funny that, like, she's got Teddy, like, trailing along behind her, like, not knowing what's going on.
I know, and he's just kind of like, whatever, okay.
I know.
Hilarious.
I mean, it's a neat dichotomy there, because, you know, she's the crazy murder person, and, he's just...
He gets to trail along, but...
He just has this blank expression like the whole time too.
Exactly. That's
what is going on? Like, why are we doing this?
Like, well, I mean, what exactly and why am I doing this?
Exactly. But still, you know, a very cool first episode. Because like I said, I'm glad they did the recap because I totally forgot how everything had just gone up in smoke in the corporation in their headquarters, when everybody got out. Because that whole scene, like with them washing up on the beach, and I was like, what the heck is going on here? Like, weren't they all like in like a thing?
Right.
But it made a little bit more sense. The one thing in that was most intriguing to me there is, and I don't know if it was mentioned in the previous ones or not, but the fact that they found that tiger.
Right.
They've never had a crossover from another park.
Yeah.
So I'm just, how many parks are there?
There are a few at least. Because I know there's, and they teased a little bit of that in the coming season. Actually, they teased it last season too, because they showed the Shogun, like they showed all the Japanese warriors in one of the rooms that Maeve goes into.
I remember that now.
That world, like that wasn't from this world. That's not from Westworld. That's from whatever world. That world is called. I mean, there's future world that's like, you know, that people have talked about. Because I guess there's a book series that this is based on.
I'm pretty sure it is.
So there's future world in that, and then there's a Japanese world as well, and that's what that's from. And the scene in the preview with Maeve with the sword, with the katana, is from that. Or I can't wait for that scene. I'm like, when can we just skip to that scene, that episode right now? Yeah. Maeve with a katana is just going to be glorious.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think they've been teasing that's going to be one of the worlds that gets revealed. And I'm wondering if that's part of where the tiger came from too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I loved her dragging around the writer.
I know. Well, she made him strip.
I know.
Nope. All of it.
Yeah. So funny.
So kick ass. And then that actor was interviewed, and he's like, "It's what the women in this show put up with. The least I can do is stand naked for 5 seconds on screen. Like, that's literally the least I can do."
Yeah.
I'm like, you go. That's a good response.
Steven, I'm assuming you did not watch Westworld.
No, I did not. Oh, I did not. I honestly didn't even know it was on.
The second season premiere was this past weekend. Have you watched the first season at all?
No, but I have been trying to catch up on stuff. I'm a bad person, I know. Yeah. But I have been binge watching Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix. I've been doing. And
you know what you guys need to binge watch? One Day at a Time on Netflix.
One Day at a Time?
Yes. It is amazing. Okay. It's so good. There's two seasons. It just got renewed for a third. It's a remake of the 70s one, One Day at a Time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the single mom and I think she had two daughters, the son and daughter in this one, but with Schneider, the building. Anyway, it's building. It's so good. And it's very, it's very aware, and it told some really good stories, some really powerful sort of timely stories as well about immigration and some stuff. Their themes were really on point for kind of a family dramedy.
Yeah. There's something on Netflix that I meant to watch, but I haven't done it yet. And that's Agret Zuko. Which is the Sanrio Red Panda character who is stuck in an office job.
And you shared that. Yeah.
Metal karaoke. It just sounds brilliant to me, and I just want to check it out. So, but I'll be doing that as well. So let's see. Oh, right. We're on TV. I put this in there. Silicon Valley has the latest season has been going on for a while. We finished up the season to the current, which is like episode 5 or whatever we watched last night. For some reason, we didn't jump back on to that when it started again, but that show is hilarious. It's highly recommended to everybody. If you know anything about Silicon Valley, the real place, and its characters, you will find examples of all of those people in this show, and it is dead on. it's just hilarious. I just love that show.
I haven't caught up with it. I just renewed my HBO subscription in anticipation of Westworld, and so I want to go back and watch. And I did watch La La Land. Have either of you seen La La Land?
Isaac did, and he absolutely hated it.
It was not what I expected. And I hung with it, and I was like, at the end, I was like, this is really bizarre. But I'm really impressed with Ryan Gosling learning how to play the piano for it.
Okay.
And how good he was. Because they had, I was watching on my computer, and you know, with Amazon, it has like the trivia. So you can like overlay if you look. And so I was looking because there's one scene where he was playing and it was a continuous cut. There were no edits. So I'm like, that's still him sitting at the piano keyboards. Like that's still him. And I'm watching this. And then I looked at the x-ray thing and it said that he had practiced every day for like 3 or 4 months in anticipation of the film to learn how to play the piano so that they could do that one shot where it was a continuous edit of him playing the piano. And I was like, that's some friggin' dedication, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Isaac got to, well, at least not anymore, but he got to watch lots of movies on airplanes going back and forth to England.
Right.
So that's one of the ones that he watched, and he just, he really hates movies that are about like acting.
Yeah.
Because he thinks
that are like self-aware of the process.
Yeah, too self-aware. Yeah. Like, he's like, I don't want to see a movie about actors becoming actors. So that's why he didn't like it. Like I said, I haven't seen it and I haven't had multiple flights to spend watching movies.
Yeah.
It's funny because when we did go to London last year, I watched 3 movies that I would not otherwise have watched. Arrival being one of them, which was amazing.
Arrival is good. We watched that too.
And then what else did I? Fantastic Beasts, I watched then, which I wouldn't have watched otherwise. And then Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
So, I can't imagine like having that option like every month and a half.
Just right.
Like, I've got to watch 3 movies. Yeah, so
I have all this time to kill. Yeah.
Yeah. So Westworld is back on Sunday nights at 9. You don't have to actually watch it then. You can find Silicon Valley. You can binge watch the whole thing up to the present. It's on HBO as well.
Did you guys see that they announced that a new animated Netflix show based on The Fast and the Furious?
No.
It's going to be about Dom Toretto's cousin. Okay. And I guess I'm here for it.
I guess I'm here for it.
Okay.
That's the only announcement I saw that caught my eye because I was like, what are you talking about?
Books and comics.
So last time we recorded, I talked about that I was reading Leia, Princess of Alderaan, which was a birthday present for me. I finished it. Very good. I really, really recommend it to like teenage girls that are into Star Wars, because it really, like, I mean, you see her in Star Wars as like this great, strong character. And this book, I mean, it doesn't make her like weak or anything, but it kind of shows through the trials that she has to go through.
That she has to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the 2013 Tomb Raider reboot, but with Princess Leia. So I really liked it. It was really, really, it's not super long. It's an easy read. So highly recommended that. I just started reading Knight of Westeros, which is a series of novellas written about Sir Duncan the Tall. This is the Game of Thrones universe, in case I'm being too...
Yes, oblique
too oblique about
it. You might not figure out what Westeros is who haven't read all of your articles.
Yeah. So it's pretty good. It's just another like thing for me is like when Isaac bought this for me for my birthday or when I found it, I didn't realize that this thing existed. And it just really makes me think for the bazillionth time that George R. R. Martin is not going to finish. He's not going to finish the Song of Ice and Fire series.
Nope.
It's just not going to happen. He's going to defer to the show and be like, this is the end of the story so that he can write all this other stuff that he wants to write instead. So, but it's okay. You hear about Sir Duncan the Tall a lot in the shows. Well, maybe not a lot, but you hear him mentioned as like one of these great stories from Westeros, this great historical story. So it's interesting to kind of be able to read it. And you know, he's a very tall, hence the name Tall, knight he's a hedge knight, and he gets a squire. This little boy kind of decides he's going to be his squire, and he's a little boy and he's bald and his name is Egg. And that was not very I knew exactly what the deal was from the start with him. I'm like, that is one of the Aegon Targaryens. And he is bald because he's shaven his head, so no one can see his silver hair.
Right, yeah.
So, and I was right. but I'm about halfway through that. It's pretty good. Nowhere near as entertaining as the as the straight up Song of Ice and Fire books. So, but it's a nice little side note. You get to learn kind of a bit about the Targaryen dynasty a little bit, because there were a lot more Targaryens back when this thing was set. So you know, lots of like, you know, fourth sons having their own, you know, sons, princes here and there and everywhere. And there's a mention about one of them being sent to the Citadel. And I'm like, oh, that's Aemon, the one that's going to end up with a nice watch. So, there's, yeah, nice little references there too.
That's cool.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Are you guys reading anything?
One of the fallouts for me for the end of the semester is I read massive amounts of papers.
Anything interesting there?
I did have an interesting research paper that I read about, like field kind for flowers.
Okay.
Which I felt like I learned a lot about, which was really cool. But, my technical writing students have the choice to research whatever they want to research. Uh-huh. And so one of the students wrote a field guide for our campus fauna, so you could like actually use it and walk around campus and find the kinds of flowers and stuff that are on campus. So
Wow, cool.
It felt very educational. I was like, oh, but that's yes.
Well, you know what, that's cool. I mean, you know, rather than your standard you know, whatever. It's nice.
Well, they really write it when you write about things that you're passionate about, you're far more invested in what you're writing, which is what I tell them. You don't want to get bored in this project. Pick something that's going to keep you, you know, aflame. So, and it was just, you know, she did a great job because she was so interested in what she was doing. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, then. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any other feedback, you can send an email to geekingmoms@gmail.com. That's G-E-E-K-I-N-G moms@gmail.com. That is also our handle on Twitter. And we have a Facebook page. For me personally, I write for the Geek Embassy every other week about Game of Thrones. By the time you listen to this, my latest article should be up. Even though I don't know what I'm writing about yet, but it'll be fine. No, I've got a few ideas. I just gotta
Which one them.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So my handle on Twitter is @NicoleTanner. Regina is head geek at the Geek Embassy. Like she said, Game On Girl just came back. But what else? Is going on?
Look for our coverage of Infinity Wars and the write-ups on the Marvel movies leading up to Infinity Wars. I'll definitely keep an eye out for Nicole's stuff. And yeah, subscribe. We have two feeds now for the Geek Embassy. We have the Geek Embassy's own podcast feed, and then I took back Game On Girl. So please subscribe to both. Listen to the episode. I killed myself audio editing it because I'm terrible at audio editing. So please go listen to it. And a great interview with a Twitch streamer, Nana Nia, who was also community manager for Robot Entertainment. So
cool. Very cool.
Yes.
Steven is editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming. Got lots of Lubos content, it sounds like, Steven. So what else?
So Lubos stuff. I don't know. Let me look.
Let me see.
Oh man, there's just so much stuff. My pack stuff is coming out. We got Lubo's content. I will be, you know, our Kickstarter campaign of the week thing has continued, which is cool. And so, yeah, I have a very interesting podcast guest coming soon. It was supposed to be on Monday, but we had to punt because he had stuff. I'm meeting with the guy who runs Mightier, which is a Boston-based company that uses video games to help treat anxiety, ADHD, and other mental health issues. So that should be very interesting. Don't worry, I'll tell you how it goes. And you'll be able to listen on my podcast. So that should be super interesting. Everything's just kind of firing, and I'm just... I probably shouldn't have gone LARPing because I'm running out of time. But you know,
we do it.
There's not enough hours in the day.
Never.
Right. Yes. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.